Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, our audience already knows you had an injury some months ago, actually, already. Maybe you can loop the ones in that just recently joined here. But I heard there was a setback just, I don't know, the last few weeks, the last few days. So what happened and how are you dealing with it? And the more important question, how can people deal with setbacks even in their product management lives, in their professional lives, in their researcher lives? Because we always constantly, especially in times like this, experience setbacks. So is there anything from your personal story that we can share?
Yeah. How am I dealing with it? You literally asked that question and I almost cried. So that's how I'm dealing with it.
Oh my God.
This is going to be a little.
That was not my intention. Yeah,
I know. It's hard. That's how I'm dealing with it. For those that don't know, last March, I broke my ankle in a hockey game. I broke my tibia and my fibula. I had to have ankle surgery. I've been going through PT for the last 6 months. About 4.5 months ago, I was doing great. Like, I was starting to return to activity. I was getting regular workouts in. And then a month ago, I came home from a weekend in San Diego and I could barely walk. And it happened very suddenly. I basically have a soleus calf strain that is very severe. My PT has told me this is very normal and she was surprised I didn't have a setback like this earlier. Basically, when you go months not using your muscles and then suddenly you start using them again, bad things can happen. And so I'm dealing with the bad things. The reason why I almost cried when you asked me that question is I cannot believe that 6 months later, I am still struggling to walk.
Yeah.
Yes, there were some great months in there where I was able to get back and enjoy some summer, but it's very overwhelming. And the reason why I thought this would be a good topic for us to discuss is that I think as product teams, we don't talk enough about the setbacks we have with our products. And I realize, especially right now, with AI products, it's really easy to show a shiny demo and get all your stakeholders excited. And then it can often take months to get a product that works in production.
Yeah, that so many of them have to be killed down the line because it didn't work. And so we already hear a lot of stories like that.
Yeah. And I think we have to be prepared for this and we have to build the mental fortitude for this. And it's so weird to me that this stupid injury is providing so many analogies for me with AI and like what it's unlocked for me with AI.
Because you had the time to play with AI while you were sitting in your office.
But it's, I'm personally struggling with how to have good mental space about this. Part of it is because hockey comes back in a month and I don't think I'm going to be ready to skate.
No.
Part of it is because I can't walk my dog right now. Part of it is I feel like between me and my husband, we both have had an injury of one kind or another for like the last 3 years.
Yes.
I literally am going to cry. But here's the thing. Like, this is why I think this is relevant and why I'm willing to talk about it, even though it does make me cry, is that we talk a lot about building products is evergreen. Your products are never done. There's obviously going to be the fun moments where we launch and people buy it and it's wildly successful. There's also the moments where we launch it and nothing happens, even though our discovery went well, you know, like, and we're going to have to start over and we might be looking at a full year of starts and stops.
Yeah. I just had a coaching session with a team, I think 2 weeks ago. And it was so happily drawing that KPI tree. And it was so happily planning what KPIs will go up and which ones will go down just because they released a new thing that they all were working on for, I don't know, half a year, something like that, maybe 5 months. And then none of that happened. So not a single KPI out of the, I don't know, 27 things that they wanted to track and put on a dashboard and really kind of hoping to improve. None of them moved the smallest bit. And it was such a big setback for the team. Wildly enough, they were still in a bit of a, So they still took it, and maybe that's one of the first lessons that we can share. It was so good to see that they took it with curiosity. So they were really frustrated. And the frustration really helped them to, excuse my French, really have this what the fuck moments. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to it? We planned everything so cautiously. We did all our research. We did all our discovery. We did well in developing the thing and putting it in front of our customers. What the fuck?
So you know, I can't help but wonder what our French listeners think of you calling that excuse your French. That's just my little random aside.
Sorry, but this is kind of, that's the saying that I learned in my school English.
Yeah.
Isn't it something you say?
I would say excuse the language.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I understood it. I'm just aware we have a global audience, so I wanted to call that out.
Sorry, you know, French friends.
Yeah. So here's what I want to say about this. I, like, one of the things I really love that I got from the book Decisive. So Decisive is a book about summarizes the research we know on decision making. And they talk about this strategy, I think they call it like 10-10-10. And the idea is like, how will I feel about this in 10 minutes? How will I feel about it in 10 months? I feel about it in 10 years? And it's just a way of like changing your perspective. And I think this is particularly helpful when dealing with setbacks, because like in 10 minutes, I'm still going to be pissed off that I can't walk my dog today. But in 10 months, I probably will be starting another hockey season. That's not true. I'll probably be mountain biking. I'll probably be back to total normal. And it will be fine. And in 10 years, I probably won't even remember this. And so, like, it's really helpful to remember that. Like, it's still, I'm still pissed off, and I still will still be pissed off in 10 months. But, like, somewhere in the back of my mind, I know that if I stay the course, if I do my PT, if I do my stupid, like, I can't stand for more than 30 minutes right now, which is so infuriating. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I stick to the limits my PT is giving me and I do my exercises, like, I will get back on track. And I think the analogy here is like, if I'm a product team and something utterly failed, and by the way, we all have them. I have released things that have totally failed.
Me too.
If we just get back to our habits and we work our habits and we take the long view, we will get there. We will get there eventually.
But may I add, I still think that in times like this, when you experience such a setback, it is still important to have room for grief and anger and expressing those things. And I think it is only even for teams, or me observing teams in a setback situation, it's super hard for them to just go back to work and to just concentrate again and go full speed behind the next idea. So I think, especially for example, if you are a leader of such a team, give them some time and some space, and maybe they won't have the most productive weeks of their life for, I don't know, a month, maybe even.
Yeah.
But it's part of the process. And as long as you can see them kind of dusting the clothes off and say like, okay, at some point we will recover from that and we already have initial ideas and they start to get curious again, I think it's fine if they don't have the most productive days on the planet.
You know what? I love that you're bringing this up, because we talk about celebrating our wins, but we almost never talk about mourning our losses.
Yeah.
And I actually think we need to. And like, I literally walked into my PT yesterday and cried. And you asked that question and I literally cried today. And I think it's fine. Like, it's okay to cry. I'm pretty sad about this. I'm pretty frustrated. I'm pretty pissed off. And that's fine. Like, those are normal, healthy feelings. And I think that happens in the workplace too, but you know what's not usually okay in the workplace is to cry or to be frustrated or to be pissed off. And maybe we need to normalize that in appropriate ways.
Yeah, in an appropriate way. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is frustrating.
Yeah, and what oftentimes I see being the culture in our organization is, and I think it's amazing, but oftentimes they call post-mortem meetings or something like that, which I think is important. But not right after the team really failed releasing the next big thing. So give them some time to breathe, and you still could run a postmortem down the line, or you still ask the team if they want to run the postmortem and when to do so. Because that's another thing. We, as a system, organization, leadership person maybe, we want them to recover. And yeah, there's the next big thing. The quarter is now, because as a leadership person, it's hard, right? You have committed some goals. None of that is happening. You have to have your big meetings with your big boss and telling them like, sorry, this 1 million that we were hoping to achieve by the end of the year is not coming. It's not pleasant conversations, I understand. But the people that had skin in the game and that were actually working on it and sweating the midnight oil, or I don't know, having all these pizzas at night before they're releasing the thing, they really need to mourn.
I think we have to normalize it's okay for people to say this sucks.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the other thing that's coming to mind is that in the workplace, part of the reason why it's hard for people to say that and why it's not okay to be frustrated or sad or pissed off is our performance is often tied to success. Yeah. And I think this is creates a really toxic, like none of my livelihood is tied to how soon I play hockey again. But some people's livelihood,
you're not a professional hockey player.
I wish I was. I wish it was tied to it, but it's not. whereas in the workplace, it's a little bit more complicated because some product teams' livelihood, whether they're going to keep their jobs or not, is tied to their performance. And I think all that, I don't think it should be tied to their performance if they're doing the right things, which is why I don't love performance being tied to outcomes and instead being tied to habits and behaviors. But, and an organizational context that supports those habits and behaviors, that's a big missing piece. And so I think I want to just acknowledge that in the workplace, setbacks often come with that added complexity. And that makes it even more important that we can take the time and space to acknowledge that.
Bringing up the question, if a company where people are not allowed to pause after a setback is a healthy place for proper discovery culture, because the better your discovery culture is, the more experiments you will run that fail. And maybe down the line, even the more things you might build that maybe sometimes fail. And why should people take that risk if they are not allowed to then really take time and get back on their feet after a setback or reflect on why things didn't work out? So I think that's, it to some extent has to do with psychological safety. And on the other hand, it has to do with a healthy discovery culture, which is not given if you don't allow people to kind of pause after a setback.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's great when teams really adopt like a continuous discovery cadence and they're doing it all the time, it really normalizes setbacks.
Yeah.
Like most of our ideas are not going to work. Most of our assumption tests are going to fail. We're going to have plenty of interviews where we're like, whoa, that was rough.
Yeah.
And it just normalizes it, right?
Yeah. It builds resilience.
It builds resilience. And so I think like what's sad is a lot of us aren't there. Like we don't work in those organizations. We aren't able to work the habits that way. But I think it is a nice silver lining of being able to truly do continuous discovery as you start to build your resilience around setbacks.
Yeah. So it would be so amazing if more organizations would understand that, Teresa. And people in general. Yeah.
And on a lighter note, getting I hope the next time we record, I will report back that I am on the mend and doing well.
Yes, please do so. Now, and all the listeners can't wait for next week's episode to air. Thank you, Teresa, for sharing this very personal story with us.
Thanks, Petra.